The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Once upon a time, back in the days before Sundays had numbers, they had names. The Sunday when the gospel reading was from John 10 was known as Misericordia Domini, which means steadfast love of the Lord. This was taken from the opening words of Psalm 89, which served as the introit that day. More recently, this Sunday has been gone by the nickname Good Shepherd Sunday. Whichever of these names is used, it is a day when we hear King David confess, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." A day when we hear our Savior say, "I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." This is the steadfast love of the Lord, that goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and afterward you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The beloved and comforting image of the Lord as the shepherd of his people is not only found repeatedly in the Psalms, but also in the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah. In the New Testament, this image is most prominent in John's Gospel, especially the 10th chapter, but it's also found in Matthew and Mark, in 1 Peter, and as we heard, in the Revelation to St. John. Exiled to the island of Patmos, isolated from his family, friends, and congregation, all around him John could see only defeat, despair, death. He saw a church that was poor and fragmented, weak and scattered. He saw the forces of evil and the powers of darkness seeming to gain the upper hand and even triumph. But for his comfort and strength, and for ours too, he was given to see a vision of the church in her glory, white-robed sheep gathered around the Good Shepherd, their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb, the great tribulation of this life given way to the glory of the life to come. As much as we love the picture of the scriptures paint of the Lord as our shepherd, one of its clear applications is that you and I are sheep. We're happy to sing, "I am Jesus' little lamb." Lambs are cute. Sheep, however, are anything but cute. They're stubborn, prone to wander, dependent, high maintenance, ornery creatures. "All we like sheep have gone astray," Isaiah writes. Not a pretty picture, is it? Sheep need to be led and guided, or they perish. "Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered," we read in Zechariah. We need to be guarded from the wolves, warned away from polluted puddles and poison weeds. We are utterly dependent on our good shepherd for every good and perfect gift, especially for forgiveness, life, and salvation. Without our shepherd, we perish. So much for any notion that we are self-sufficient, dependent on no one, and that we are able to fend for ourselves in spiritual matters. It's not true for things like daily bread, and it's even less true with respect to eternal life. You and I are doomed, isolated in sin, led as sheep to the slaughter. We are caught in a trap from which we cannot free ourselves. We face a very dark and long valley called this life, in which fierce wolves and false teachings and dangers to body and soul lurk around every dark turn. This week, we were once again reminded of the depravity of man and the dangers of this life. North Korea shot off salvos of missiles. Iran threatened attacks against U.S. citizens working and serving in Iraq and neighboring countries. With deadly intention, two students at a STEM school in Highlands Ranch, Colorado, brought guns to their school. They killed one student and injured eight others. Many more were traumatized by what they saw and heard. All of this is part of the Great Tribulation, a world where sin continues to affect everything, where life is filled with toil and trouble, where suffering and sorrow are unavoidable, where sooner or later death comes to all. And that doesn't yet consider the particular threat the apostle saw taking place, in which believers were regarded as sheep to be slaughtered and were being killed because of their faith in Jesus. But the Lord revealed the end of the story to John, showed him how everything was going to turn out. What he was given to see revolved around the Lamb who was slain, but is now alive forevermore. This is the one the baptizer first identified as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus was incarnate to be the substitute for humanity under the law, the appointed sacrifice for sin, which all the sacrifices of the Old Testament prefigured and anticipated. This is how God loves the world, in his Lamb. This is how God deals with the sin of this world, in the Lamb. This is how sin is washed away, by the blood of the Lamb. This is how the sinner stands justified before God, in the Lamb. This is how you became a sheep of the Lord's flock and people of his pasture, by being baptized into the Lamb. That innumerable multitude, made up of individuals who came from every nation and tribe and people and language of the earth, standing in front of the throne and of the Lamb, praising him for his salvation, is an image from your future. What is revealed here is the whole church triumphant, sharing in the victory of her Savior. What John was seeing was the flock of blood-bought sheep who had heard the voice of their lamb and shepherd calling them from their baptism, "Follow me." They had followed him through the wilderness of this life. They had listened to his word. Now they were experiencing in its fullness his gift of eternal life. They would never perish. They were now beyond the reach of death. The devil no longer a threat to them. Sin and the law unable to touch them. They had journeyed through that shadowed valley of this world, listening to the voice of their shepherd calling them. As the founder and perfecter of our faith, he had gone ahead of them through death and the grave. Having risen from the dead, like a shepherd calling his sheep to follow him through the valley, he had led them, as even now he is leading you, from death to life. An acquaintance of mine, a pastor, has written that on Good Shepherd Sunday, the open and empty tomb stands as a kind of a war memorial. A war memorial to a battle fought once for all on a cross outside of Jerusalem. There the Lamb of God, our Good Shepherd, paid the price to redeem sinful humanity, including you and me, from a horrible and eternal captivity to sin and death. He became sin for you. His death is your death. The open, empty tomb testifies that death has lost its sting. The grave has been vanquished. Nothing in this life, not disease, nor acts of violence and terror, nor disasters natural or man-made, can snatch you out of the shepherd's hand. What John describes concerning this innumerable multitude is something to which you can look forward with a sure and certain hope. Because you have been redeemed by Jesus' blood, been reborn in holy baptism, are being sustained by God's word in the faith, and being gifted through absolution and through the supper with forgiveness, you are most assuredly among those of whom he writes. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The Lord in his mercy grant this to us all. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.